Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your three haunting hopes having a ball. Spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs. Crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs. This is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while doing the full-on Bus It Challenge on some scrumptious craft beer from all over the country. I can't believe I actually know what the Bus It Challenge is. Thanks to our sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto here with you at Jay Quasto. I've never done the Bus It Challenge for the record. I'd hurt my knees. Anyway, moving on to the stars of the show. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member on Ghost Hunters, has jet fire engine red kind of hair. It's awesome. She's a wealth of knowledge, and she's a legend. Follow her at Ashley Trobe on the socials because she'll fight you on social media. She's actually.
Well, first off, it's none of those things. It's actually orange.
Orange. Right. I went with red. I was going with it. I committed.
But I will absolutely fight people on social media. In fact, I get in trouble a lot, and I actually got in trouble today. I just got banned for a few hours because this girl was like, I'd kill myself before I follow COVID rules. And I was like, cool, kill yourself. And then I got banned. So, you know.
Do you know the person?
No, fuck her. I don't know her.
Fair enough.
I don't know that person.
No, I see it.
I don't know how to follow that.
Look, I'm just going to bring in and you do your best.
Okay.
She is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal. Her one woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, is coming up worldwide once again. Follow her at Anastasia Washington at Anastasia Dubs. She's Anastasia Washington.
Hey, guys. I didn't threaten anyone today, but I thought about it.
Yes. Power.
Makes one of us.
Yeah. I am a revolutionary. Sorry, I watched a movie about Fred Hampton this weekend. Sorry.
Fair enough. Hey, I mean, you're both revolutionaries. Ashley's getting kicked off of social media, and you're thinking about it. That's power.
Right. Yeah. That's our
Before we get into our beer, let's first give a shout out to Tavor. How much do we love them?
So much. Yeah.
With all of our heart. If you want $10 off your first crate at Tavor, download the app. And then, of course, use the code HAUNTS10. That's HAUNTS10. You get $10 off your very first delicious crate of craft beer that will be delivered right to your door. Before we get into the beer, though, let's bring in our special guest. We actually could not have a more perfect special guest for this show. It's called Haunts and Hops. She travels around. She enjoys food. She enjoys beer. She enjoys the paranormal. She documents it all with her blog that can be found at spookeats.com. She's also an author that we're definitely going to talk about. Just like us, she believes that history is for everyone, but haunted history is for the weirdos like us. Please welcome Amanda Woomer from spookeats.com. What's up, Amanda?
That was a great introduction. I'm doing good.
Awesome to have you all the way from Buffalo, and we can't wait to talk to you. There's so much stuff to talk about. First things first, we always talk about the beer that we're drinking to kick off the show. So who wants to go first? Ash, I think you're ready.
I am now. Good Lord. I'm drinking, so it's from Tavor. It's Urban Artifact, and I have to say, you guys all know me. I'm an IPA person. Colin. I hate grape. I hate the flavor grape. Mm-hmm. It stems from a lifetime of childhood of drinking Dimetapp. I cannot stand it. Is called, I don't know if it's called Astrolab or Astrolib, whatever. It's Concord grape flavored, and I thought I was going to hate it. It is a sour. Ooh. And yo, it tastes like Skittles in a really good way. It is so good. What, Anastasia, what's that face you're making?
I was like, oh, you're like, it was like a sour, and then it was like grape, and then you were like, it tastes like a Skittle, and I was like, oh.
But yeah, but no, it's a Skittle in a good way. It's really well done. It's not overwhelmingly sour. It's a Midwest fruit tart is what it's called. But I'm really enjoying it. It's 8.2%. It's incredibly smooth. I really did not have high expectations for it. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
By the Astro Labé.
Yeah, shout out to them.
To Astro Lab or Labé or what? But
well, shout out to Astro Labé. That's amazing because I've yet to have a sour that I can drink more than 3 ounces of, but that looks very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, then give it to me next time and I'll drink it.
Such a good friend.
I'm so nice.
So Anastasia, what you got?
Okay, I haven't tried it yet. It is Sea Pine Flannel Channel Winter Ale. Okay. Ooh, so let's just do this.
Crack it, make it happen. She's going for the taste, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, she's had a strong reaction.
It's heady. No, it's very heady. It got like nothing but foam.
Okay, nothing but foam after cracking open the tall boy can. And she's making an unhappy face. She looks very, very bitter there. That's not a happy Anastasia face. Almost as if she's drinking an IPA. Let's go down to the field and see what she has to say.
It tastes like an IPA.
Oh, shit. Not a fan.
Why does it taste like an IPA?
Okay, say it again. What is it?
Sea Pine Flannel Channel Winter Ale. No? Big malt flavors, copper-colored, zesty winter ale. 6.5% by volume.
Yeah, I can see that being IPA-ish for sure.
Do you know how there's like people that have like they have cilantro and they're like, ew, it tastes like soap when they have cilantro? Yeah. That might be you with like IPAs though.
Okay, but here's the thing. It is me. Because there's two DNA, there's two like abnormal like mutations. We'll call them mutations. And the taste buds that don't react to two things. IPAs, like the bitter taste, and cilantro. I have both.
You have cilantro?
Mutant.
Wow.
Oh my God. Are you in the X-Men? That's fucked up.
It doesn't give me any superpowers. It just makes me make faces that are really like nasty, but I feel like I'm special. My mom said I was. So
you would have hated my job in high school. I worked at Chi Chi's restaurant and I had to make salsa. I would go home with my hands reeking of cilantro all the time.
I would have loved you.
That's nasty. You nasty. That's
what I'm going for. Amanda, what is your favorite type of beer?
Oh gosh. Honestly, anything except an IPA.
Yes!
I feel so bad. I love like stouts and porters. I like if I can have to like chew my beer because it's like really thick, I love it so much. Okay. Unfortunately, I was gonna like bring a beer to like do the show tonight and stuff, and I accidentally drank the last one last night.
Got it.
So I was like, oh dang it. So I have a little thing of vodka next to me.
Well, what was the beer that you had last night?
So it was a local craft beer from my favorite brewery in Western New York called Resurgence Brewery. It was my last can I've been hoarding it of their pumpkin spice vanilla cappuccino.
Oh, dear God.
Beer. It's amazing. Like, it's so basic, like, oh, pumpkin spice and like a cappuccino. But it is my favorite beer on planet Earth. I love it. I could stick a straw in it and just like drink it all day. So
I thought we were like a beer love match. I thought me and you, but I'm not sure about the pumpkin spice cappuccino. I was oh my God, she's saying all the right things.
When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, I'm not convinced, but I, you know, had like my little like flight and stuff and like tried it. And I was like, this is amazing. And so.
Is it a stout?
It's a stout. Yeah.
Okay.
You said you're in Buffalo, right?
Yes. Yeah. Buffalo.
Oh, great beer town. Oh,
I love it.
Beer town, USA.
Beers.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, I'll eat a pumpkin spice candle. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, right.
Well, that sounds delicious.
I feel worried about you.
You should always be worried about me. I am stoked for this one. This is from Hopworks Urban Brewery in another great beer town. We're talking about Portland, Oregon. It is another winter ale. It's called the Abominable Winter Ale. And check out the can. Come on.
Ooh, that's
I carry some of their stuff at work.
Yeah.
What? Sorry, I'm so sorry. I said I carry some of their stuff at work. Their cans are always really fun.
Oh, do you?
I think I have a new obsession with a cryptid, and I didn't really realize it. But I'm into the Abominable and Yeti-ish things all at once. All at once. I must buy it all.
Well, you would enjoy this.
I would.
This is, Hopworks Urban Brewery, 7.3%, Abominable Winter Ale, and it is great. Well, you know, you and I have gone winter ale 2 weeks in a row, and, really good. Really smooth. I might even drink the entire tall boy.
Oh, wow. I will not be drinking my whole thing, so.
Wow.
All right, well, this show just got weird, but that's
cool. Listen, Ashley, take it.
Here, hand it over.
Here, Ashley, take it.
Hand it over. All right, well, now that we've gone through the beer, it's time for the Supernatural Scoop.
I waited to burp that time.
Don't ever wait. Now, this is an article from ScienceAlert.com that Anastasia sent to us in our group chat earlier this week. Every document the CIA says it has on UFOs is now available to download. This is nuts. It is a 2,780-page collection that the intelligence website, The Black Vault, received from the CIA via CD-ROM. So, there is that. The explanation is their, quote, entire archive on UFOs is now termed, instead of UFOs, they're calling it Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or UAP. First off, stop. It's a UFO.
It's a UA what?
UAP. Not to be confused.
UFOs have rights too, okay?
Yeah, I guess. UAP, not to be confused with Megan Thee Stallion's song. comprises of hundreds upon hundreds of formerly top secret records going back more than 50 years. The Black Vault's been fighting since the 90s to get the CIA to give them things. And finally, the CIA was like, hey, and they threw a CD-ROM at them. And now you can get them all via individual PDFs or one giant zip file.
Download it online.
I have no idea.
Keep going. You're like Napster, that shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is what the CIA, they claim it's everything. But I mean, what do we really know? But either way, it's something we never thought would happen, I would assume, to have this much formerly classified info thrown out there.
And then 2020 happened.
Yeah, and like nobody even cares or like whatever. Like, aliens, have you seen the world? Who cares? Like,
yeah, that tracks.
Nothing really freaks us out anymore. Now, Amanda, obviously spookeats.com, everything you do is more centered around the paranormal as far as spirits and everything, but your thoughts on something like this, like I would imagine you're definitely open to the thought that we have been visited or maybe are currently being lived with.
Absolutely. 100% like on board for other life forms out there. I think if there's nothing out there, that's a total waste of space. Pun intended. After the year that 2020 was, I would not be surprised if the aliens were already here. And I mean, nothing would surprise me after what that was.
So, yeah, I know. Yeah. We thought 2020 was the shits, and then 2021 brought us an insurrection. So it's
yeah.
And an impeachment. It was like, pump the brakes, 2021. It has only been 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. After Trump was just like, yeah, fuck Pence. I was just like, well, this is it. Like,
yeah.
This is how it ends.
this is how it ends. Seriously, people are watching the world right now like, wait, what's real and what is sci-fi?
But can I give you guys some good news?
Please.
Can I give you my own supernatural scoop?
Yes.
Okay. So the Lizzie Borden house is for sale right now, you guys.
Are you going to buy it?
Sure. With $2 million. Lizzie Borden's house, bed and breakfast can be yours.
We can afford that with all our subscribers, right?
So go to our Patreon and give us $2 million. Yeah.
Actually, we don't have a Patreon, just Venmo. How about that?
Yeah.
Yep. Venmo me $2 million.
Now hold on though. How big is this house? Because $2 million sounds like a lot in the middle of kind of nowhere.
Well, yeah, and it's also not in a it's not the best area of Massachusetts. It's not the worst. It's Fall River, but it's not
Yeah.
Amanda, like, have you been?
I have not been to the Lizzie Borden house. It's on my bucket list because I'm like, oh, it's a bed and breakfast. Like, you can stay there. You can eat there. Like, that's what I do. That's, I want to go. So the fact that they're selling it, I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I hope it stays a B&B. Like, I don't want some random person to buy it and then like make it a private residence or something.
Who would do that? That is the caveat of buying it. They will not talk to anybody about buying it unless you are going to keep it a bed and breakfast.
That's good.
Okay. So that is a positive. It is like, I was looking at the listing. It says zero bed, zero baths. I think that is inaccurate.
So I'm not sure.
Well, if you're a ghost, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. That is true. That is
you show true, up and they're like, welcome to the largest studio apartment in Massachusetts.
$2 million, please.
This is not a very good depiction of what I'm buying if I'm buying this, but the pictures are cool. You can look it around. You can look around at it.
Can you send us the link? That'd be fantastic.
It's also on our Twitter. Okay. For sure.
Beautiful.
The only reason I did this is because I was at work today and I didn't know that this was posted yet because I hadn't been on social media yet. And so this morning I walk into work and my coworker comes up and he was like, yeah, I'd live in the Lizzie Borden house. And I was like, what are you talking about? Also, big shout out to him. He's amazing. He listens to our show all the time. He's fantastic. But yeah, he did that. And I was just like, what? I don't know what it is. And so I had to go check our social media to find out what he was talking about.
So this
You're
link,
welcome.
Yeah, so this link just went up. The house is essentially brand new, up for sale, which means I give it about 2 weeks before Zach Bagans buys the goddamn thing.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. He's probably going to – he's already bought other houses.
I know.
Well, guys, did you hear that I've surpassed Zach Bagans. I'm now the number one hated investigator in the world.
Who says?
What?
Oh, my God. Apparently, did they give you a trophy?
Oh, come on. Who
says? I deserve an award, right?
Who told you? Besides that one weirdo online.
That was that one weirdo online who was a paranormal investigator that I worked with for years.
He doesn't count. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there it is.
Yeah, you're not. You're like, you haven't become the most hated. You're down to like 4 or 5. Don't worry.
That's really funny you say that because one of the guys from Ghost Hunter said the same thing. He was like, no, you're not the most. You're like number 5 in line. You're fine.
I was just guessing.
Thank you.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm throwing numbers out there.
No, Paul was just like, yeah, you're like number 5. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, all right, well, I'm not worried now. I'm only like a fifth of the way worried. Mm-hmm.
Fifth in line to the throne.
Yeah.
Style.
You will be the king.
Well, let's all toss in some pennies and see if we could buy this Lizzie Borden house. We'd love to keep it a bed and breakfast. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to stay there. So I'm in.
I'm also in.
Well, definitely a perfect house for Amanda to go with Spook Eats. Let's get into everything you're doing. I don't even know where to start because you're also an author of a book that I definitely want to get. It's called America's Haunted Breweries, Distilleries, and Wineries, chronicles over 30 locations across the country. Brilliant idea for people like us who love going to breweries. That's like just a fun thing. And half so many of them are built on either haunted ground or in old buildings and stuff like that. So what brought that idea to your mind? You like us, you just like to hop around to breweries. You're like, wow, these are all haunted. I might as well write about it.
Hop around.
That was good. I'm a beer fanatic. I was raised in a wine household, married a beer drinker, and now my father's transformed into like a fancy liquor guy. So it's like the best of all the worlds and stuff. But basically, I went deep into quarantine last year in like April, and I was pregnant at the time. So I thought, oh, let me write a book about beer because I'm thirsty right now, I guess. I don't know. It was definitely like
when you're thirsty.
Yeah, I was I was like glutton for punishment, 100%. Like it was torture to write. But basically, my idea was it's book one out of one right now in the Spirit Guide series, quote unquote. And so Haunted Breweries, Distilleries, and Wineries is first. Then I have a bars list coming out. I have a hotels list coming out. So everything that's like Spook Eats with the haunted hospitality thing is eventually coming out once I find time to write more. But I think it was just like I was trying to think like, what do I want to do first? And it just like beer, like that was just kind of like a no-brainer for me. And like how what you said, it's so many times you visit these places and they are in these gorgeous historic places that have so much history behind them. So it's like the best of all the worlds where you have the history, you have travel, you've got the ghost stories, and then you have a beer or a wine or, you know, a whiskey or a scotch or something to go with it. So it just seemed kind of like a no-brainer. And I threw a huge net out to probably 100 places. And I heard back from 30 places that wanted to work with me to write about them and stuff. And it was awesome, like connecting with these places during COVID to try to like kind of boost their tourism, for lack of a better term. And my hope was to be able to like give these books to these locations for them to be able to sell in the gift shops and stuff to kind of boost their sales because everyone is struggling right now. And it was an awesome response. It was great. I absolutely loved writing it. Now that I can drink again, I really enjoy it. So
love it.
That's amazing too. And I think every one of us has been to a haunted brewery. And I want to know if you've been to this one because I know for your first ever, I don't want to say paranormal experience. I know that was when you were like seven, but your first ever, I guess, haunted visit was my yearly visit, which is Gettysburg. I'm from Pennsylvania. So I go every year, but I know you went like 15, 16 years ago. There's a very haunted brewery in Gettysburg. Have you been?
Which one is it? I've been to, been to a lot all in one day. Yeah. So,
okay.
I may have been there and I got love a little
her.
Blurry.
I love her. I just love her.
She's perfect. This is called the Battlefield Brewery. It's actually, it's in a barn that at one point was a makeshift Confederate hospital during the Battle of Gettysburg.
I was just going to say, was it a barn? Because I remember the barn. I think that was the second stop we did.
Yeah. And
we
so
still kind of remember it, though.
Kind of. It's still a little fuzzy.
This place, you have to, it's a must-see if you're ever near Gettysburg. So my buddy and I did our yearly trip. And then we go, and it's like 3 p.m. We're sitting at Battlefield Brewery. And I got to be honest, the beer was not great. But it's worth going anyway. We're sitting there. We're drinking our flights. And I'm talking to the bartender. And I said, you know, I got to ask, do you have any haunted stories? She's like, do I?
Hold my beer.
Yeah, literally. She just gets in there to where she's talking about how like downstairs, they hear music sometimes. There is no possibility of playing music. There's certain corners that have distinct smells that show up out of nowhere, disembodied voices, noises that make no sense. Like anything you could ask for that's haunted, Battlefield Brewery has it. So it's such a cool thing to have in the middle of Gettysburg. And so that's one I'd recommend for sure.
And I love it that like they take like this old building that could potentially be torn down, you know, remodeled into something else entirely. And they do a great job at really preserving the history behind it. And like, that's one of my things whenever I visit locations for Spook Eats. And if I'm walking into an old building and it is gutted and like super fancy and sleek inside, I hate it immediately. I'm a history nerd first and foremost. Like before I even ever got into the paranormal, I was a history nerd. So whenever I go into a place where it feels like you're kind of like walking through a time capsule and like back in time, I eat that up. I love it.
That's kind of how I got into it. Not how I got into it, but Brandon Alvis, which most of you guys know, and Mustafa, They're both history nerds. And so when I was getting into the paranormal, it was a lot more about the history of the location more than it was about the paranormal, which created this beautiful, weird little like smorgasbord blend of love of both of them, because history and the paranormal are their own things. But when you combine them, it's just this whole beautiful different realm. And it just, it changes everything about what you do when it comes to the paranormal, when you appreciate the history of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel the same way. I don't know how you feel, but Anna, but like for me, I think it's hard. If you love the paranormal, I think you have to love history, because otherwise where's the interest? It's like, oh, I just want to hear some shit yell at me. It's like, no, you want to know why it might be happening. They really do go hand in hand. It just makes everything so much more intriguing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that if you are in for, like, you should just get, if you're in for jump scares, there's horror movies for that. That's great. You should do that. But, like, I, you know, and maybe it's, like, the empathetic in me that is just, like, it's respectful to know the history, and it's interesting to know the history, and you shouldn't just go in there thinking, like, oh, I hope something scares me and I can scream really loud. Like, I hope, you know, like, I can get to know, you know.
That's what Weekend Warriors are, though. Weekend Warriors are the people that go in just to be scared and to have that fucking adventure, you know. And there are a lot of people like that. And there are a lot of people in the paranormal world that only want that. They want to show up on the weekend and just kind of be scared and enjoy that moment and then just go on from that. You know, and it's unfortunate. It happens a lot, but that's also a paranormal field, unfortunately. So,
and I think we're all storytellers. Obviously, you've written a book, Amanda. We're comedians and all kinds of different artists in this group. And so, like, we love stories and we love people and knowing their stories and stuff like that. And that's just an extension. Like, the paranormal is just an extension of these people's stories. And I dig it.
Yeah. It's the story's continuing on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I dig that you put it in places that we can drink.
Plus, would you guys agree that in your experiences with the paranormal, I feel like the more you know about the history of your location, the more likely you are to get a response, because if it's an intelligent haunting, they're going to respond if you might know who they are or you might know the situation, right?
Well, I mean, that goes with those like trigger items and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like the more knowledge you have of anything, the better at the outcome.
Well, it's kind of a combination, because I've definitely gone into places blind deliberately to see if I could like figure things out. And again, I don't want to use feeling empathic for any investigation. I don't use that as evidence ever, right? That's not scientific. It's not conclusive. Yeah. But there's definitely been times where I go into a place and I'm like, don't tell me about it. I want to try to figure it out. And I do figure it out, which is fucking great, but it's not conclusive. Can't use it as evidence again. So it's a weird combination, because like I do want to know the history a lot of the time when it comes to investigations. But when it comes to a place that I've never been and I want to know and I want to learn about it, I don't want people to tell me. I want to see if I can actually figure it out for myself. So it's a really weird thing, because, you know, it goes almost against my beliefs of wanting to prove it specifically with science and also wanting to follow what my mind is telling me to do with these places. So it's kind of weird. I'm in a constant battle with myself when it comes to investigations.
I think so many paranormal researchers are like, I feel like that is what gets us like interested in it, is the fact that we have scientific minds, but we also have this like empathetic nature and this like, I don't know. It's the knowledge of the unknown and this like connection with the unknown. And I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a constant battle, right? Like, yeah.
It definitely
is a really good way.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, what was the most intriguing location in your book to you?
Oh, gosh. Can I cheat real fast? It's been a year since I've even looked, not a year, but for me, oh gosh, probably the one that really stood out to me while I was researching is probably, dang it. I was going to have a hardcore answer. I would have to say Boobies Brewery. sorry.
Go on.
He's intrigued.
I think it's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's down in Pennsylvania, so there you go.
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask you if Hidden River, if you had ever heard of that one.
Yes, because, yes, that's it. That's in here.
Dude, okay, so that's in Douglasville, not far from where I'm from, and I've been there a couple times. That is in it's basically built, they call it a 300-year-old mansion, but it's one of those things where it's the original house is 300 years old, and they gradually built it out, but no one's allowed in the original house. This place is so haunted, and what's crazy is it is out in the middle of nowhere. Douglasville, Pennsylvania is not a destination. No offense to anyone from Douglasville, but you're not. This place, every time I've been, is packed, and they really specialize in IPA. So Anastasia, you would feel haunted there.
I'm already scared.
So welcome.
They do a killer business. You have people driving from all over because there's no convenient way to get to it. And it was packed every time I was there. So I'm really excited to know Hidden River was in that book because it's a great spot.
Yep. Yeah. That was cool to read about because of like the history kind of being like built on top of itself. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of locations do that where it's like they have the claim of like, well, it's the oldest, you know, building in the state, or it's 300 years old. And then you learn like, well, okay, only like that back room is, but it's cool when like it grows out further and further. And so you kind of have almost like rings in a tree. Where you can actually see, like, you know, there are certain buildings that I visited where, like, activity only happens in this section of the house. And you find out, well, that section of the house is from this time, and this section is, you know, much more recent. It wasn't here when that person, you know, potentially was at the building or at the location. So it's kind of almost like a barrier of sorts. So it's kind of cool to see places that do that. And again, you're incorporating this old historic building, you're not trying to transform it. You're not trying to, you know, knock it down and rebuild it or gut it into this sleek, shiny new thing. You know, you're really preserving it. Hidden River's in there. So
that's awesome.
That's incredible. And where can people get this book? Because I'm certainly going to order it.
So I have all of my books are available. If you go to spookeats.com/shop, that's always hard to say. So nice and easy. You can see the list there, kind of like read the blurbs of them, and then you can just click on it. If you want a personalized copy, those are also available in like a different little section, but it's all spookeats.com/shop.
Are we the different little section?
What?
I said, are we the different little section?
Yes, you are. Yes. You are a different little section of our website.
There's no question about that. Now, in all of your investigations over the past 15 years, what are the ones that really stick out the most?
So for me, it's not just a specific investigation, but like this location for me, it's a place called the Ghost Light Theater in Buffalo, New York. I've been a member there for 16 years now, which is gross for me to admit out loud because it makes me feel really, really old. But I've been a member there, and almost since I started participating there, I've experienced activity ranging from, you know, the feeling things, which, you know, obviously aren't nearly as impressive. But then also seeing things with my own two eyes, hearing things, hearing my name, capturing EVPs, capturing photographs. So for me, it's the most active place I've ever been to, but I know that's because I've spent the most time there. You know, there have been times I've been in the building by myself for a day at a time.
Why?
Because I'm working on like a set or something in the theater. Oh. And so I was gonna say, like, I would say willingly but not willingly.
Is it a masochist, Quasto? Come on.
Yeah.
Look, come on. I don't know what kind of theater this is, you know what I mean? I'm not judging.
So for me, I love it there. I had my freakiest experience at Iron Island, which is also in Buffalo. But hands down, the Ghost Light Theater. It's just, I don't want to say like it's a nice location, but it doesn't feel like there's anything like negative there. I've never felt scared there. So I enjoy going there. And when I do have an experience, I'm like, oh, that was cool. That was nice. I can enjoy it because I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily like freak me out or take me by surprise. Whereas like, if you're in another location, you're unfamiliar with it. You're unfamiliar with the building or the energy within it. You know, it's easier to feel uneasy. So I love the Ghost Light Theater. It's, you know, this old, it was a church that was built in the 1880s.
Oh boy.
So and it transformed into this theater 20 years ago now. So it's cool. Rich, rich history. We've got, you know, spirits there from over 100 years ago. And then we also have spirits there from just the last, you know, 4 or 5 years that we know the people who have passed away and have kind of lingered a bit. So it's a cool location.
Now, were the recent people who passed away, were they members of the cast or were they just frequent visitors of the theater? Like they were customers and they just loved the theater so much that it's thought that they're just hanging out there.
So they were two cast members. The one gentleman, he passed away in 2017, very unexpectedly. He had been a member even before they had the building. So he had probably been a part of it for 25, 30 years. And then the other member was actually, to be a downer, was my little brother who passed away in 2015. So, and it's cool because we've seen both of them there since then. Yes, with like our own two eyes. Interestingly enough, the gentleman who passed away in 2017 saw my brother after he passed away. Holy. So it was weird. Like, and I didn't know this. I actually wrote a book about the theater for a fundraiser for them to get through COVID. And I was taking firsthand accounts from people, and his best friend told me basically his ghost story and said like, oh yeah, like he saw Jed the show literally weeks before he passed away. He saw my brother at the theater, which in hindsight, you're like, oh, shit, man. Like that's kind of, I don't want to be like a harbinger of death and doom, but.
Was this an older gentleman?
He was in his, at this point, early to mid 50s. So not particularly old. Yeah, he died very suddenly of what we think was a heart attack. We're not sure.
Gosh, it does make you wonder if maybe your brother was not, like you said, not trying to be a harbinger, but maybe there's a reason why he saw him.
Yeah.
The ability. I don't know. That's so, wow. That's surreal.
Yeah, and also, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's honestly, like, I always tell people, because whenever, like, you bring up, like, oh, like, my brother passed away, you know, 6 years ago now, people always kind of, like, pull back. And I always say, like, I love talking about my brother. And he's the reason why I started Spook Eats. Mm. So I'm not going to say, like, it's a good thing because absolutely not, you know, I would trade anything in the world, you know, screw Spooky. It's, I don't want it. But if you're looking for a silver lining, that's it.
If you don't mind, dive into it a little bit. Why, you know, obviously your brother passed away at a very young age because you're young yourself. So what caused this path as far as starting Spooky Eats and traveling and paranormal and everything?
So basically, you know, I had been interested in the paranormal very casually, basically my whole life. Like you mentioned, I had my first encounter with the paranormal when I was 7 years old. So from the very early age, I would read books on, you know, cryptids and aliens and ghosts and all that fun stuff. And even growing up, my parents would take us, you know, me and my brother Jed, to, you know, Gettysburg, Salem, Key West, you know, cities that kind of have like that reputation of being spooky. So it was always very innocent. And I would do like little ghost hunts and stuff. I would like break into cemeteries and, you know, have my cassette recorder to do my EVP sessions and stuff, thinking I was totally badass.
Federal offense, yes.
Yeah, right. I'm like, oh gosh.
Only if you're caught.
Yeah. So, but then in 2015, he was diagnosed with pediatric cancer in 2014, passed away 8 months later in 2015. And
how old was he?
He was 19 when he ended up passing. And basically for about 2 years after that, I was sitting on this concept. I obviously didn't come up with the name Spook Eats until later on, but basically, after he passed away, you know, some people turn to, you know, religion or going to church after someone passes away, or community service or alcohol, which I did do that. But in my way to cope with my grief, I turned to the paranormal. Nothing brought me any comfort except, you know, going on investigations or even just talking to other people about their experiences. And if I ever, you know, listened to an EVP from someone, or I saw a photograph that was, you know, more than just like an orb, you know, and actually looked like something, it was so helpful for me. So I kind of started thinking, you know, I can't be the only person that's ever lost someone and then questioned what comes next. So, you know, I started, you know, looking at places to investigate and kind of branch out. And I found that a lot of places are really, really difficult to access. You know, you either have to be a part of a team or really freaking rich to be able to access these places. So that's when I kind of turned to the restaurants and the bars and the hotels. These places are already open and they want you to come visit them. And a lot of times they do have just as much history as the places that you would see on TV. So, and I'm like, they have heat, they have electricity, they have plumbing, they have food. So, and, you know, and ideally people could go and for the price of a beer or an appetizer, you could potentially have a paranormal encounter. You know, so that was why I wanted to start Spooky. So that's why I kind of with the website, and especially the books, it's kind of supposed to be kind of a roadmap of sorts to kind of point people in the right direction and have them go on their own kind of paranormal journey and come to their own conclusions. I hate it when people just kind of like regurgitate what they're told by either people on TV or, you know, what they read on the internet when it comes to the paranormal. You know, I feel like it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving, and it's a very personal thing. So come to your own conclusions, you know, think for yourself. So that's kind of my hope with Spook Eats, at least. So that was really why I wanted to start it, was to kind of help people in a similar boat as myself come to their own conclusions about the paranormal and possibly, you know, find answers to these questions about life and death and what could potentially, you know, come next.
That's amazing.
It is. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the gentleman who created the Melmeter. You know, he did it out of grieving for his daughter, and he created this incredible piece of equipment, and Ashley knows him, you know, and and Ashley, you love that piece of equipment. That might be one of your favorite things to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I use the Melmeter a lot. Actually, Gary just tweeted something a few days ago about having a dream about Mel and seeing her and asking her what it's like to be where she is. And she was just like, it's fine. It's great. Like, I'm good here, you know? So yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
It really is. And we actually have, I went to Spook Eats, and it's such a fun website. There's so much cool stuff to see. You could spend a lot of time on there, but you went to 3 out of the 4 of us have been to the Red Onion Saloon in Skagway, Alaska. And wow, to say that place is an experience. If you're ever in Skagway, you're probably on a cruise. Otherwise, I'm not sure how you
You're on a cruise.
You're not taking a road trip, really. But you gotta go. So it's essentially an old brothel. It is incredibly haunted. It looks still very original. Is that a good way of describing it?
Yeah. I mean, I think they kept the bones of the place, the feel of the place, definitely inside and out.
Oh, there's definitely bones in there.
There's definitely bone.
Well, both.
I think I have a coin from there. Like, I think I bought one of the, you know, cause like that's the way they actually, were paid. You bought a token or a coin, and it said where, yep, just like the Mandalorian, it said the service that they would provide, and you put the coin, just like the Mandalorian. Exactly.
Just like the Mandalorian.
Exactly. I don't remember what my coin says, because I do have a lot of brothel coins, so I have to find that somewhere.
Did y'all notice the wall? Just like the Mandalorian. The walls of Red Onion freaked me out. There are so many photos. Did you look at how old, like, and look, I don't know if those are all old photos from Red Onion. I'd like to think they're original photos, but just looking at those just will throw you way off.
Do you get creeped out by old photos?
Well, inside of a haunted brothel, a bit. Sure.
I used to go to well, this is probably, I should probably not share this, but I'm going to share it because that's who I am as a person.
Hell yeah.
But I used to go to like estate sales and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when we could actually see people and stuff and look for photos, because, you know, there's like a lot of death photography that was very popular.
What is that exactly?
So sometimes the only time that you would ever get a photo of the person that you loved was after they were dead, because people didn't have camera phones. They didn't have cameras. So the only photo they would have of their loved ones, and especially like the young kids, was like to do a death photo shoot after. And there's all these ones of like, if you ever see people like sleeping, I know, you see sleeping photos, like it's not them, they're not sleeping.
And it's in black and white, it's pretty much.
Yeah. And you know, like, what?
There's so many photos of me sleeping on the internet. Like, do you think people think I'm dead now at this point?
Yeah, only if they're in black and white.
No,
only
if they know you, they know you're drunk, so it's okay.
Wow.
It's interesting. People grieve that way, and people still grieve that way to this day. Like, you know, when my father passed away, my sister had to take like last photos of him, and I was like, I don't get it, but that's the way you grieve.
Wait,
and she
what?
Was like, she like took pictures of him in the coffin and stuff, and like, and she like gave them to me, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But it was the sort of thing, because I did the same thing after when my brother passed away in the hospital. We took pictures and I was like, you know what? I might not want these someday, but if I don't take them and I do want them someday, I you can't undo that. So that's why I kind of did it. And I've never looked at them because I can't like open that door. Yeah. But I got them and I know that I've got them in case someday I want to look at them.
I mean, I've seen them. It's everyone grieves differently. So it's you never judge. I also have a connection. Like, I've had experiences with him since he's passed away. So like, I feel very lucky and blessed by that. But you know, it's an interesting, like, it's just an interesting medium that was very popular, you know, when cameras first started out. And then, you know, now we have camera phones and stuff like that. We have billions of pictures of our loved ones, and video and their voices and everything like that. And people just didn't have that. So it's so interesting. It's just an interesting concept.
Yeah. It really is. And you accidentally picked up an EVP at the Red Onion. You were just in the middle of doing an interview, right?
Yeah, I was interviewing Corey, who's the curator of the Brothel Museum. And just happened to, didn't even realize it till I was editing out my likes and ums afterwards. Yeah. So like days afterwards. So and I had to like email her real fast, like, oh my gosh, we got something. So
this is so cool. So everyone take a listen.
Are you getting the thing here that red is typically the indicator?
Say, I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, there's a theme there.
We're going to play it one more time.
Are you getting the thing here that red is typically the indicator?
Say, I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, there's a theme there.
What's amazing there is you're both talking at the same time and there's no one else in the room and this voice comes in. That is where it's hard to deny that it was an EVP.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. Like, I actually wasn't even, like, as I was editing, I mean, I was doing like three other things at the same time, not even really paying attention. And then I heard that and I was like, wait a second, was that like a third person? And like, I like rewound it. Makes me sound like I'm friggin' 1998. But I kept like listening to it over and over again. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that was a third person. And it was like, it was just me and her. That's it. So it was interesting, if nothing else. You know, I have no idea. I don't know.
And what a statement. I'm the opposite.
And because we were talking about basically how the ladies of the brothel would kind of like advertise their services. So it'd be like, oh, you would have like a red petticoat or a red garter, or you would like walk your dog with a red leash, things like that. So like, that's what I hear. I hear I'm the opposite. I've been told by other people that they hear something else. But that's all I can hear. So,
yeah, well, it's certainly a woman's voice. No question. Mm-hmm. And in a, you know, it's hard because we know some of the history of the Red Onion, but we truly don't know all the history of any old place, because think about how, you know, we know all the bad stuff that would happen in brothels. Think about how much of it was hidden forever.
Yeah. Especially up in Alaska.
Yeah.
Like, any woman in Alaska, like, I don't even know. Like I don't even know. I don't even know. Yeah. It's like 11 to 1 now. It's like 11 to 1 ratio now. Like, up in Alaska.
It was not a pleasant place to be for those women. And so you can only imagine the kind of energy that's there. And, you know, talking to the curator, I'm sure she had some stories for you. So.
Oh, my gosh. I could have talked to her for all day. And I only had an hour. So,
yeah. And can people hear that interview?
I haven't released it yet. I actually have been working with Tim Weisberg from Midnight FM. Supposedly, I'm going to be getting a radio show on the network, but I had a baby in the middle of all that, and I've got only like 5 or 6 episodes put together. So I was like, maybe eventually I'll get to it. So if it doesn't end up getting aired on Midnight FM, eventually I'll just release them, because it was an amazing interview. I could have kept going for parts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. She's an amazing, Corey is an amazing person to talk to.
That is so cool. And before we go, you're working on a new project that I think all of us are going to be into. It's called The Feminine Macabre, Highlighting Women in the Paranormal. So from what I gather, you're essentially taking submissions from women who work in the paranormal. Am I accurate?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
So basically, this kind of idea came to me about a year ago. I was on Paranormal Buzz Radio talking about women in the paranormal historically. So just kind of like famous women throughout our history. And I like got thinking, like, you know, there are women in the paranormal. There's no doubt about it. In my experience, they make up the majority of the paranormal field. But for whatever reason, on like the mainstream media, all you see is guys most of the time. And if you do see a woman, she's always paired with a guy. You know, you have your all male teams of, you know, Ghost Adventures, and, you know, you had Ghost Brothers for a while. You've never had an all female team on TV. So it got me thinking, like, why the heck is that? I have my theories of why. But so that's why I kind of wanted to, for 2021, I wanted to think of like some projects that I wanted to work on. Most of them are books that I'm writing myself, but I really wanted to do this to kind of open up, you know, a call for submissions to, you know, any woman in the paranormal, anyone who identifies as female or non-binary, because I did have an individual write me that said that they don't recognize themselves as a lady, but as a thady. And I thought that was, I had never heard that term before. Yeah. And I thought that was great.
Thady is great.
Yes. So I said, any ladies or thadies out there, and anything under the paranormal umbrella, whether, you know, you're a paranormal investigator, you're a historian, you are into folklore or the occults or tarot or cryptids, anything weird. And so far I've had it open for only like a week or a week and a half, and we've gotten about a dozen submissions already. I'm not sure how, like, really what to expect. Submissions right now are open for volume 1 until February 15th. And I'm hoping to release the first volume on International Women's Day, to be stereotypical.
Yeah.
So that's my hope. And I'm hoping to be able to make it a biannual thing where we do it like once in the spring and once in the fall. And I really just want to try to create a platform for women to be able to talk about the stuff that they're doing, because it's just as important as what the guys are doing. But for whatever reason, the guys get highlighted on TV and all of their work is showcased. And I feel like women just aren't showcased nearly as much as they should be. So
you truly are the perfect guest, because I know, Ashley, this sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get a female, you know, centric show picked up for a while. But I'm very lucky that, in a sense that, you know, I have Quasto, who is a feminist, right? And I'm so lucky to have him doing this show with us. And it's made it so much easier because it doesn't feel like we have to think about that when it comes to our own podcast. Like, we've been so blessed in that sense. And when it comes to television, we have to actually focus on it and really push to be like, okay, this is an all female show, or this is all, yeah, you know, the women are the leads. And so it's such a weird situation when it comes to television, because, yeah, you know, we do have to push for that. And when it comes to the paranormal in general, we still have to push for that, because I've been doing this for 15 plus years at this point, you know, and, you know, it's always been about, I found that most men just kind of laugh at what I'm doing, or they think that I'm just being whatever the fuck they think I'm doing. So it's been an adventure to journey through. And I'm excited to see that women are finally taking the forefront of it, and that we have really amazing allies, you know, like Quasto, that are willing to be there and just be like, yeah, we want to do this for you. So yeah, we're getting there. It's taking time.
I think it's so important and amazing that you're doing that. I mean, growing up, I didn't have anybody like a woman of color that was like on TV that you know, like, so I'm still waiting. It could be me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It could be me. I'm willing to step into that role to be role model for women of color in paranormal and what it looks like and all that. So any representation is great. I'm ready to see different out there, because there's a lot of different that is actually doing this and has been doing it for a long time and just not getting the spotlight. So thank you for shining the spotlight.
The book looks phenomenal. And Ashley, you know, I've seen that project that you're talking about. It's great. Anastasia would be a perfect part of the show. Yeah. It's funny because, like, you know, I lived in LA for a long time and I'm in the business, and like, I watched that pilot. I'm like, how the hell is this not on television? And the only thing besides the sexism part of it is the fact that y'all are real in that project. It's not outlandish. It's not a circus. It's not a lot of screaming and like the kind of stuff you see on certain ghost hunting shows. Yes, that was my impression.
It was good. It was good.
It was real and it was scientific. And honestly, God, I think it's too smart for the audience, which is a good thing. And I think eventually you gotta keep going with it, because I think eventually it's gonna find a home. But I just think that you know, it's hard to know. I don't know what the demo is with paranormal television shows. I truly can't figure it out, because there are a few that are decent and then a few that are just hot trash. And I don't know.
Well, unfortunately for people, people like Anastasia and I are not going to give up. So it sucks for everybody else, because we're going to keep going.
Yeah, I don't give up. So
we're going to keep pushing until we get this. And we're going to show the entire world what not only women of color are made of and people of color are made of, but also the paranormal existence. And it's going to be fantastic. So I'm really excited to show everybody what we have.
Damn right. Yeah.
And I'm so excited for your project, and thank you for doing it. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm encouraging like everyone, like, even if you don't feel like you're a writer, or I haven't been doing this for long enough, or I'm not really an investigator or researcher or anything, stop it. Don't think like that. Send something in. I'm telling people, you know, go to spookeats.com. That's where the submission guidelines are, and just read through it. See if it's something that you think you can do. And if you're passionate about it, send me something. That's like, I just like keep like telling people, like, just do it. What do you have to lose? So I encourage both of you ladies, you know, to send something in, especially, you know, as, you know, a woman of color, it's so underrepresented. Like, it boggles my mind. It really does. So, you know, feel free to send something in. I would love to include both of you ladies in there, just because I feel like so many people are looking for kind of like that sign from the universe. Like, oh, should I get into this? Should I kind of be more aggressive in pursuing this and stuff? And I feel like with women coming in and writing their stories or writing about their research and stuff is going to be that, you know, great cosmic sign that someone's going to need to just, you know, keep pushing at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed. Well, Amanda, we can't thank you enough. This was one of, without a question, one of my favorite episodes. Tell everyone where they could, we know spookeats.com. Is there any other way? You've done a great job at branding that all across social media.
Oh, yeah. So on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, I'm just at Spookeats. It's nice and easy. And I'm a millennial, so I'm addicted. So I'm always on social media. It's terrible. So and then with the submissions for the all-female paranormal journal, you can get the guidelines at spookeats.com. You can send over your submissions to just spookeats@gmail.com. It's nice and easy. So, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Of course. And of course, any of you, if you have a paranormal experience you want to discuss with us, it's simple. Call 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Do you have an EVP? Have you been to a brothel? Whatever. Just
even if it wasn't haunted. I've been to a brothel. Can I talk about
that? Yes.
Did you see a cryptid? Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen a cryptid in a brothel? Tell us the story. Or was it just a really old person? Whatever. Just call us, 818-660-6191. Of course, use the code HAUNTS10 for Tavor. And with that said, it's time for everyone to say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was our worst timing ever. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.